Spirit just for a minute. Today is a victory Sunday. Victory Sunday. So much going on in and around, but victory belongs to you. Victory. Our scripture today, we're going to take it from 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And we're going to walk through that entire chapter, but just for the purpose of highlight. We want to highlight a couple of verses here. And then we have one verse in Corinthians 15 and 57. But we'll start with number 10 in the Good News Translation, and it reads this way. It says, in this way, Jesse brought seven of his sons to Samuel. And Samuel said to him, no, the Lord hasn't chosen any of these. Then he asked him, do you have any more sons? Jesse answered, there is still the youngest, but he's taking care of the sheep. Tell him to come here, Samuel said. We won't offer the sacrifice until he comes. So Jesse sent for him. He was a handsome, healthy young man, and his eyes sparkled. The Lord said to Samuel, this is the one, anoint him. 1 Corinthians 15 and 57 says this, as just a backdrop of this, it says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through. And I'm going to put a pin right there when it says through. Somebody say through. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through. Somebody say through. Through. Pray with me as you will. God our Father, again, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we ask that you move us now, so your people might see you, glorify you, edify you. Increase us now and decrease our flesh to increase our spirit. We ask for receptive hearts, for it is the heart of which you're coming back for man. So open the heart of man to hear what we have on this victory day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our sermon idea today is going to be Pathway to Victory. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Anybody besides me? But while I'm home, Lord, this tedious journey. That's for the believers. Somebody said that I want Jesus. I want him to walk with me. Oh, that's for somebody. Come on, say it. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. I've been on the journey for a while. Walk with me, Lord. Walk with me. Hey, Lord. wisdom should all be me. I know it was a tough journey, but you are with my mother, Lord. Please walk with me. Well, I'm on, Lord, this tedious journey. Yeah, it's a very tedious journey. Excited to be in God's house with God's people on God's day, on God's hour, on God's moment. It all belongs to Him. And though there are a lot of things going on, as we've said, there's still some victory in the air. I don't care what the news say. I don't care what the Mueller report said. I don't care what CNN or Fox News is talking about on today. There's still victory in the air. Come on, you might as well walk with me. There have been some tragedies in this world that we have, grim and dismal. But on the other side of that is still victory in the house of the Lord. Is that right? That's for the believer. Your tears may come and your tears may go, but I'm telling you that every day you walk with Jesus, there is victory in your atmosphere. So if somebody don't mind, just for a minute, I want you to expect victory in your future. Can we just give God one more hand clap of praise for victory? Come on, for the victor, for the victory, for the victory. I submit to you that somebody is experiencing a victory right now. Somebody just came out of a victory. And somebody in the audience is expecting a victory. But the Bible declares that, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through. I wanted to stop there just for a minute because that word through gives me an indicator that in order to get to victory, there's something you're going to have to go through. Blessed be to God that gives me the victory through. Now let's talk about what it means to go through. Tell somebody just sitting next to you in case before they go to sleep that you got to go through. You got to go through. Now just touch them. Just, you know, we don't always touch your neighbor. We're going to touch your neighbor today and just say, you got to go through. If you expect victory, you're going to have to go through something. If you expect me, I don't know where you're sitting at on this calendar. I don't know where you're sitting at on your time, but I'm just letting somebody know who I'm looking at today that victory is in your future. But you got to expect to have to go through something. David. The scripture in 1 Samuel is based on David. David. You know, David is one who has been referenced down through the years as being one of our go-to people. When you talk about victory, David is the person that comes to mind when you think about him defeating the giant. And we've had so many sermons and teachings on the giants in our lives and how we overcome those giants, and when we want to kind of reference that, we go back to David and see how one who was so small and had so little but defeated a giant that there were so many there was afraid of. So we reference to David, and we gain strength from the fact that David was one who ultimately gained the victory. Yeah, but one thing that I think that we have not highlighted is his pathway to the victory. It's hard sometimes for us to expect victory based on the realities of where we are right now. It's just hard to see it. You just, for whatever reason, life has just not afforded you the privilege to look into the future to see. You can't see it. You can't understand it. But we declare that we walk by faith and not by sight. So I do want you to tell somebody again, this is just another touch your neighbor and tell them victory is in your future. And the devil is a liar. Now come on, say it like you really mean it. The devil is a liar. That victory is in your future. The devil is a liar. Yeah, so we walk by our faith and not by our sight. Now walk with me, if you don't mind, through David's pathway. And you just might find that once we walk through this 16th verse that you may see some parallels in your life that lets you know that you are in good company and that you're on the right path. Because, see, often so many times we read the scriptures and we flow by them so quickly that you might miss something that really might pertain to where you are right now. Because we are looking for victory in a different way. We're looking for the big prize at the end of the rainbow. But I'm telling you that there's some little nuggets along the way. So let's kind of walk with this. If you kind of just be patient with me, if you will. We're going to walk through, get you out before the Lord. While the Lord is in control, we want him to get the praise on what we're doing. Now, you are in good position if you faint not. Victory is in your future. Now, the 16th verse, the 16th chapter of 1 Samuel lists off this way. The Bible declares, and it says that the Lord says to Samuel, so how long are you going to grieve over Saul? Saul was king at that time. He said, I have rejected Saul. So how long are you going to sit and mope and moan about me not allowing Saul to remain in position? How long are you going to just sit here? I need you to do something for me is what the Lord says to Saul. I said, no, not to Saul. He said to Samuel. I need you to go to Bethlehem, and what I want you to do is to find a man named Jesse. I have chosen one of his sons to be the king. Now, you could look at this and say, well, okay, you want me to go to Bethlehem and find a man named Jesse. Okay, if you fast forward this to modern day time, you know, you can call somebody and say, that, okay, tell Jesse we're on the way. But back in the times that the scripture was written, I'm going to just go and I need you to look for somebody named Jesse. So no doubt they sent some folk ahead of him. So Samuel was a little nerd by what the Lord was asking him to do. He asked, well, how can I do that, Master? If Saul hears about this, he's going to kill me. Now, most of you know Saul. He probably would have killed him once he found out what he was planning to do. But the Lord answered, the Lord says, well, let's do it this way. I want you to take a calf and offer a sacrifice to the Lord. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice. And I will tell you what to do when you get there. You will anoint as king the man I tell you. So Samuel arrives in Bethlehem. Bible said that the city leaders came out to greet him, and they were somewhat nervous, and they asked, is this a peaceful visit? Now, even though this story is not about Samuel, I want you to go back and study Samuel to see why folk were really kind of nerd by his arrival. You know, Samuel was a guy who was responsible for kind of reorganizing and redirecting. He controlled some stuff, and when he came to town, you better know that there was something going on. So when he walked in, he came in and said, he replied, he said, I'm here to offer a sacrifice. This is just a friendly visit. So Samuel instructed him, along with Jesse. He says, okay, what I want you all to do is to purify yourselves, and I want you to come back to the sacrifice. So he sent Jesse and his sons, and he sent all of them out and said, okay, go and then come back to the sacrifice. Pathway to victory. So Jesse and his sons arrives. You can see them, they all went home. Let's just imagine in our mind that they went and got freshened up just like we did this morning. Come to church, we put on our best. And then we came to church on Sunday morning. We came for the sacrifice. We came prepared for whatever it is that we were being prepared for. All of us came, and here we are now. So Jesse and all of them came to the sacrifice and his sons. And when Samuel saw Jesse's son, Eliab, he looked at him and said to himself, that's what the Bible says. We'll go back and read it and get. And he says to himself, this man standing before me surely is the one the Lord has chosen. Surely it's got to be him. But the Lord said to him, pay no attention to how tall and handsome he is. I have rejected him. I do not judge as people judge. They look at the outward. I look at the heart. Now let's park, just kind of put it in, kind of put a quarter in the meter. Park it just for a minute. He said to himself, but the Lord answered, said he. Samuel said to himself, but the Lord answered. Just a little footnote, be careful what you're thinking. That's for somebody. Be careful what you're thinking. God might just be listening to you. He knows your secret thoughts, so you better be careful in your mind what you're thinking. Somebody's thinking something right now that ain't got no business thinking. You better be careful what you're thinking. The Bible said that he said to himself, but the Lord answered. That's just a footnote. Be careful what your thoughts are. So he rejects Eliab. But look what he said. He said, never mind how handsome he is. Can I put another footnote? Put a dime in the meter for you ladies. Never mind how tall and good looking he is. Don't care how many packs he got, 6, 8, 12. No matter how curly his hair is or how slick his head is, how beautiful dark his skin is or how light vanilla he might be, the Bible said, the Lord said, I have rejected him. Put a footnote saying that. Don't worry about the package that he's in. Some of you are going to pick the wrong one. That's just a footnote for somebody. That's just a footnote for somebody who might be looking at the wrong package. Your boy, he may have already come by and passed you by, and you still worried about if he's tall, dark, and handsome, if he's got this and he's got that. Wouldn't matter what kind of car he's driving, how much money he got in the bank. The Bible said the Lord rejected him. Pathway to victory. Pathway. That's for somebody. And that's for the brothers too. I just what the Bible said him, but that's for the brothers too, okay? I know we get crossed up our eyes sometimes like, Lord, have mercy. Well, he will have mercy. But it might not be the right one, baby. I tell you what, you might have to throw it back in. Thank God, but let me tell you, the Lord has. It's when he tells them, rejected him. So watch what's happening. So Jesse brings another son, Shammah. Shammah said, no, not him either. So the Bible continues to say that Jesse does this another 5 more times for a total of 7. Samuel said, none of these have the Lord chosen. None. You brought all 7 of these boys, and not one of them is the one that the Lord has chosen. If you don't get him on number 3, you might catch him on number 4. You just keep hanging in there. There's some stuff in here on the pathway. On the pathway, that's just for the ladies, okay? On the pathway. On the pathway to victory. He said, this is what he said. He said, do you have other sons? Jesse says, yes, my youngest. But he's out taking care of the sheep. Okay, he said, okay. Bring him here. We won't offer the sacrifice until he comes. So when the youngest son comes up, also a handsome little fellow, the Bible says in the Good News Translation, with a sparkle in his eyes. The Lord said to Samuel, this is the one, but not him. Thus begins his pathway to victory. I'll walk with me just for a minute. So just a couple of nuggets that's kind of jumped out at me while I was reading this, a couple of things on David's pathway to victory, is that you have to expect to be overlooked. You got to expect on your pathway to be overlooked. For whatever reason, people are not going to think that you deserve any better than what you have right now. And they're going to think that what they give you is all that you really deserve. And sometimes it's the closest one to you that think that you are undeserving. Be careful who's around you. Some of the same folk that's around you every day, they really don't think you deserve any of what you got. How dare you sit and look at me and worry about what kind of car I drive when I work every day? You don't know what I go through to get what I've got. And why are you sitting here anyway worrying about it? Folk that are sitting around you don't believe that you deserve what you got. Prepare to be overlooked. Prepare to be overlooked. Jesse forget to invite David.
his own father. Here he has seven sons. He brings them all to the sacrifice. And how does he forget the baby boy? David. Nobody leaves the baby at home. You always bring the baby if you don't bring nobody else. You might leave the oldest knucklehead at the house, but you're going to bring the baby. Out there. Yeah. Jesse said when he asked if he has another son, he says, yes, but. when somebody put a butt on you, they have just disqualified you. Oh, yeah. When somebody put a butt on you, I think I'm going to give you this promotion, but. I think you qualified, but you come to work every day on time, but you make my family, you clean up real, but my daughter says she likes you. My son has got his nose open, but Lord, when somebody put a butt on you, they have just disqualified you. Because when you say but, that cancels everything that came before it. So maybe when you're sitting around in a conversation with somebody, this might just be for somebody. And you're sitting around in a conversation and somebody get to talking to you and telling you something and they say, but, put your one finger up. Hold on. Let's go ahead on and stop right there. Because it don't matter whatever you say after this right here, it ain't going to even matter. But watch what happens. Watch what happens. David, the one who was tending to the sheep, laboring on the farm, David. Jesse, like other folks, don't think his son was qualified. And he hadn't paid his dues yet. You're not worthy to be in our company. So they overlooked him. Can you imagine him overlooking his son, saying he wasn't worthy to be in the company? The rest of them came all dressed up, but they let him stay in the field. He wasn't worthy to be in the company. You ever been around some folk who just got their nose so far up in the air that they make you feel uncomfortable, like you really ain't supposed to be here? I'll tell you this. This is a sidebar. I went to a dinner that we had. I can't tell you where we was at because somebody might live there. But one of the guys, let me see. All right. One of the guys, they went out to this country club. We had this meal. And, you know, country clubs, some of these country clubs, you can't get in unless you got a bunch of money. And you got a different, he wasn't qualified to get in. So he said he went the day before and they were setting up for the event. And somebody said, oh, they got some of y'all coming. Wasn't qualified to be in the company. So Jesse left David out in the pasture. He wasn't qualified to be in the company. So you need to prepare on your way to be overlooked. And to add insult to injury, none of David's brothers said, Dad, where is David? Shouldn't he be here too? I mean, you got seven of your brothers and sisters, everybody getting ready to go to the sacrifice, and nobody suggests or says anything to say, well, where is David? We surely got to get David as all of us going to the party. Why can't David go either? Man, when people are threatened by your presence, when they won't want to see you close to them. They want to keep you as far away as possible. All they're looking for is for their name to be called. All they're looking for is for them to be invited to the party. All they're looking for is for them to be recognized. If somebody don't call your name, they sure ain't going to bring your name up anyway because they feel so threatened by you. So maybe the seven boys felt so threatened by him that they didn't even bring his name up. And they all got in the car. Well, them horse and buggy, whatever they were driving or walking, and went to the sacrifice and left pathway to victory. What do you imagine this, if your family overlook you, what do you think this world would do? Don't be so dismayed when things happen. Don't be so surprised when things happen. This world is a cruel world. But we trust God. The only but that makes a difference is but God. That's the only one that makes a difference. That's the only one. Expect to be overlooked and don't be discouraged. Now, one other thing I want you to look at here on your pathway to victory. There's a bunch of stuff in the scripture. I want you all to read this and go back home, and you'll find more things in here than we're bringing out today. But if you invite me back, I'll tell you about a couple more. But I just got two more that one more I want to tell you about. On your pathway to victory, you just might have to do the job that no one else wants to do. David was tending to the sheep. Now, I don't know if anybody besides me grew up on a farm. We raised hogs. But let me say it this way. We raised a hog. We had one hog. So I don't want to exaggerate that, you know, just in case my dad is in heaven and saying, boy, we ain't have but one hog now. But anyway, we raise hogs. So but David was tending to the sheep. And now David, you know, people bring their dogs in and they shampoo the dog, take them to the cleaning thing and all that. I had one on Friday. Take them and get them all pretty up and dressed up. But sheep and hogs, nobody don't take them nowhere. They stay out in the pasture. So the Bible says that David was tending to the sheep. He was tending to the messy and the snake sheep, the Bible says. While all his brothers were back at the house, David was getting his hands dirty. David was working. David was moving. David was keeping the sheep safe. He was out doing something that had some meaning. David was working. Park it for another minute. Some of us don't want to even do what's necessary to get to the next level. Oh, we want the gain, but no pain. We want victory, but we don't want to fight. We want the glory, but we don't without the sacrifice. We want to win, but we don't want to get in the game. We want to eat, but we don't want to cook. We want our church to be filled, but we don't want to get in the streets. We want the promotion, but we don't want to come to work. We want to get good health, but we don't want to do what's necessary to keep our good health up. We want, but we don't want to dip to give. On our pathway to victory, because victory comes with a cost. But we miss something here. We don't know sometime when to shout. Oh, we miss it. We miss it sometime. We miss it so often. We don't know when to shout. We're looking for the big victory at the end of the story. Yeah, we're looking for when he slays the giant so we all can lift up and raise our hands. That's when we're thinking about the big victory. We're looking for the NBA championship. That's when all of us got the big victory. We're looking for the Super Bowl. We're looking for the Sweet 16, now the Big 8. And then we're looking for the Final 4. And then we want the Final 2. That's what we're looking for. That's when we can shout and get glory to somebody because of the victory. Because we're looking for the big victory. Is that fair? That's fair. That's fair. That's what we're looking for, most of us. Oh, but tell somebody you need to recognize the small victories on the path. There's some small victories on the path. Let me tell you, somebody may have got a scholarship that didn't wind up in the Sweet 16. Somebody may have got their first score in the game and they don't even realize that was a victory for them. They may have lost the game, but guess what? He may have made his first layup. We get so caught up in the wrong thing. We heard about what's at the end, at the win, but we don't think about what's going on in the middle. You better be careful what you are concerned about. You better praise God for the the small victories. Yeah, don't you worry, don't you worry, don't you worry all about what's at the end. Praise God for the victories while you're going through. Yeah, David was out tending to the sheep. David was working. He was doing what nobody else wanted to do. He was caring for the sheep, keeping them fed, keeping them safe. David had a job. And that's a victory. Isn't that, wouldn't you call that a victory? There's so many folks sitting around here, they ain't got no job, won't go to work, won't do anything, but you got a man here that is doing what he knows how to do, and he's got a job, he's working. That's a victory. Don't miss this shout right there. Somebody need to praise God just for him having a job and didn't mind having a job. The Bible said, oh my goodness, the man was working. Pathway. Pathway to victory. He may not have had the one he wanted, but he had the one he was assigned to. It may not be the big job back in the house, but he had one that had meaning and responsibility. You see, God wants to see how you handle the small things before he can elevate you to something bigger. God is checking out your attitude on your job before he promotes you to the next job. He wants to see if you're talking about folk. He wants to see how you come to work, see if you're coming on time. There's some small things that God wants to see if he can trust you with before he gives you something else. So he trusted David with the sheep. He wanted to see how he was going to handle it before he gave him a promotion. But some of us don't want to do that. Oh, no, you want to walk in and have your name on the door. You already want your big desk. You already want the leather seat. You don't want to do what it takes to work up from the bottom up. So you better be careful on your pathway. The Bible said here that David enjoyed what he was doing. Well, the Bible really didn't say that, but how do you know that? That's not what it said, but look what it did say. The Bible said when he was invited to the sacrifice, he showed up with a sparkle in his eyes. You know how you feel at the end of your day when you've been working all day. You don't feel like being bothered with nobody. You don't want nobody talking to you. You don't want nobody cutting in front of you in the car line, in the traffic line, no less than anything else. And here he shows up at the day with a sparkle in his eye. It let me know that this man was out there working and he was enjoying what he was doing. He had God in his mind and God in his spirit. It didn't matter that he was in the messy sheep, but the man was happy with what he was doing. Some of us ain't happy with our jobs. We mad. We come to work every day. We piss folk off. I'm telling you, somebody need to get God in their spirit at your office, because you don't know what God has in store for you. He might be getting ready to elevate you, and here you are sitting down complaining, worrying about what's going on with somebody else. God is trying to tell you something that you better know how to appreciate. The small things. How in the world are you going to be elevated to something when you can't handle the small stuff? How? You can't handle it. And you're worrying about what somebody else. Folk can't even speak to you. But you got a bad attitude. You hate to see some folk coming, don't you? I mean, come on, let's be truth about it. Come on, tell it there. Come on. Tell it to shame the devil. Some folk just get on your nerve at work. Ain't nobody did nothing to you, man. Why are you acting that way? Isn't life just good enough just to be joyed? Didn't God wake you up early this morning? Didn't he allow you to come to work and then get in a car accident? And here you are, got an attitude in your spirit for what? You are not going to go any further than where you are now, because the only thing you can do is just complain. The Bible suggests that he had a sparkle in his eye. Dirty. Smelly, but with a sparkle. Dirty, smelly, but it had a sparkle. Dirty, smelly, but it had a sparkle. But look at what happens here now. We're going to tell you. At the end of the day, here he is. Just when folk forget about you, just when folk overlook you, just when folk think that you are not worthy for the position because of your age, because of your gender, because of your race, because of your status, because of your educational level, then in spite of who you know or who you don't know, but God. That's where you put a but God in. You can believe one thing, that the Spirit of the Lord is working on your behalf, and you got to see it right here. So here he shows up, and he shows up at the same place, at the same time, and at the same table. Don't you know God won't do it? You don't have to worry about if they don't invite you to the big thing. God is going to see it if it's in his will for you. He's going to make sure that the same folk who look down on you, you're going to be standing right next to them. And if you ain't careful, when you get to the end of the story, when you get to the end of David showing up, there's some things that really happened to the man who was handling the sheep.
When you get there, they would already be waiting on you. And the Lord said to Samuel, anoint him, he is the one. And that's a victory, my beloved, is that you came up out of the muck and the mire, but watch what God did for you. God anointed you. It wasn't so much at that particular point in time that David knew what was going on. The Bible simply suggests that Samuel anointed him, and because he was the one that God has chosen. And look at what the Bible continues to say here. It said that when he anointed him, the Bible suggests that the Spirit of the Lord was with him, and not only did it fall in him, but it went with him for the rest of his life. Now that's a victory. If you showing up, meet the Lord for real. If you showing up, get God in your spirit for real. When somebody anoints you and you got God that goes with you now, forever, isn't that a victory? The thing is, so many of us want to pick the Lord up and drop him down. That ain't how this thing works. The Bible suggests that David was anointed, and the anointing stayed with him forever, and to follow him the rest of the days of his life. And that's a hand clap of praise for David. Come on, give God. The Bible said the Spirit immediately, then it immediately took over his spirit and followed him the rest of his days. Expect to be overlooked and expect to do some things that nobody else wants to do. Just two little nuggets on the way to your pathway. And when you begin to start thinking about this thing with David, look at some parallels in your own life. Look at where you are right now. See if there are some things that say, you know what, I might be just in good company. And there's a blessing at the end of this road for me. All I got to do is do what David did, and I've got to stay the course. Stand on your feet and give God